You can speak of this education at many levels. So I am not sure at what level I should be speaking to you. Let me speak at the highest level. Because when you want to build up a curriculum at different levels, you should be clear at the high levels. Then you can scale down and move downward. Every curriculum making determines the goal. Then the components by which the goal can be achieved. And components are to be designed in a graduated manner with sufficient variation and repetition. And finally, you keep into account the methodology and also take into account the teaching learning material. When you keep all these parameters in your view, then you can build up a curriculum. So let us first of all say what is the goal of peace education at the highest level. Our students should be able to be lovers of peace. That is our goal. Now you may debate this very first statement. Should we have critical thinkers on peace, or should we aim at creating peace lovers? You can ask this question quite widely. What should be the goal of your peace curriculum? Now that raises a basic question. Why do you want peace education at all in the curriculum? Which has been decided by some people. You are not the makers yourself of the syllabus proposition. Educators have decided that peace is very important. That humanity has reached a certain stage of development now. And if humanity has to move forward, you will require people who love peace. In other words, you have to have philosophy of peace. And why peace education at all? Now there is one view in the world history which does not favor peace. So when you make up curriculum, you must know different points of view. Long ago there was a philosopher called Heraclitus. You might have heard his name in Greece. He had a very important statement. War is the father of all things. That is to say, the world civilization would not move at all if there was no war. War is the father of all things. Therefore, from his point of view, war is inevitable. And you must teach people the art of war and must give them the courage for war. They must love war. It's also the point of view which you must, as curriculum maker, you must know this view. And if you say, no, we do not want to do this, but we want to have peace lovers, you must have a very powerful argument against this point of view. There is also another view, which is called the view of evolutionists, those who believe in evolution. And the most important theory in science in regard to evolution speaks of struggle for existence as the very law of life. He says the whole evolution is because of struggle. Struggle is competition. And you can survive only if you know the law of struggle, how to compete better, how to fight better, and how you can succeed. It speaks of survival of the fittest. This point of view also needs to be kept into view. So there is this vacuum, father, war is the father of all things. And the second is the view of struggle for existence and survival of the fittest as a very principle of evolution. If you teach peace to children or to any components of the citizens of the country, are you not eliminating from your civilization the power to create new things in the world? People will be mild, sickly, uncompetitive, accepting any kind of condition, lethargic. Are you not going to create that kind of psychology among children and people? Incapable of fighting, incapable of competition, incapable of receiving challenges, meeting challenges. Are you not going to create human beings of that kind? It will be worthless ultimately. They can't sustain themselves. So I am putting at the very outset an antithesis. Why should you have peace education at all? Those who are advocating peace today, are they not aware of this antithesis? And yet they are doing it. Why? What is the problem? Why are your teachers asking you to create a curriculum or to discuss the question of peace? Why should you have this subject at all? Our new curriculum, which is being made, 2005, new curriculum framework, which has laid down peace education as an important component of the totality of the scheme of education. Has it not thought of this question? And what do they want? Now it's a very big question. I will not go into it. I'm only putting questions for your reflection. If I have to deal with this subject fully, it will take 3-4 hours myself. There are many pros and cons in this question. There was in 1980s a report of American Education Survey. It produced a report called Nation at Risk. It gave a challenge to the whole country and warned the country and said our country is at risk. Why? Because they said that Russians, who are our enemies, are educating their children better than our children. Therefore, we won't be able to fight with them properly. And therefore, our nation is at risk.